Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Romantic comedies specialize in glorifying the ideal of the perfect couple, soulmates, true love.
True love, you heard him? You could not ask for a more noble cause than that.
Yes, honey, true love is the greatest thing in the world, except for nice MLT.
The actors Mandy Patinkin and Billy Crystal from the 1987 film The Princess Bride. Its plot relies heavily on the concept of true love being the greatest thing in the world. While stories about true love may be great for selling tickets, the popular concept of discovering your soulmate may not be the best for your relationship. Spike W.S. Lee is an assistant professor of marketing at the University of Toronto. He's co-author of a new paper published in the September issue of the Journal of Experimental Psychology just about this concept of soulmate. And Spike, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me.
So did Miracle Max get it wrong? True love is not the greatest thing?
I think it depends on what you want to look at. If you look, when we're talking about relationships, there's all kinds of relationship outcomes that you can look at. You can look at long-term relationship satisfaction, divorce rate, or when relationship just starts, you know, at the beginning stage, how excited do you feel? It turns out in our research, when we look at long-term relationship satisfaction, the idea of soulmates is not exactly the helpful one.
Okay, let's go through that a little bit. You and your colleague Norbert Schwartz evaluated the effect of how couples framed their relationship on their relationship outcomes. Please, what were you looking to find out?
I was looking to find out if I was right, you know, research as me-search. So the way we tested this idea of framing love is to look at two different, what we call metaphorical frames of love. Now, there are all kinds of ways that people think about romantic relationship, two of them being what we call love as a perfect fit or love as a journey. In the perfect fit frame, the basic idea is that my romantic partner and I, we were made for each other. Mm-hmm. So there's this idea of idyllic state. There should be perfect harmony, as if two halves of a circle come together and form this unity frame. But the idea of love as a journey is rather different. It basically frames your relationship as an ongoing process, as something that unfolds over time, as if there was a destination ahead of you and you're going through perhaps ups and downs, twists and turns to finally reach that destination.
So destiny versus destination on some level.
Ah, nicely put.
How did you evaluate these relationships and their effect on outcomes?
In one of the studies, we did something quite subtle. We gave people a bunch of, remember in high school, if you took biology, the enzymes and substrates, the lock and key, you know,
mm-hmm.
the two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have to fit, right? The shapes have to match. So we gave people a page, basically, of 10 locks on the left and 10 keys on the right. They just have to find the right match, basically, and then, you know, match them together. That's one condition. That's the love as perfect fit condition, except that we don't actually activate love at all. It's simply the idea of perfect fit activated in a subtle way. In another condition, we give people a piece of paper with four mazes on them. Just, you know, draw from point A to point B through a maze to activate the idea of a journey. It turns out if people have been primed with the idea of journey, they are less bothered by their relationship conflicts. In other words, if they have relationship conflicts, they tend to feel dissatisfied with the relationship. That's you know, no-brainer. But if they have been primed with the idea of journey, they are not dissatisfied with their relationship, even though they have thought about conflicts.
So summarize the findings for us, if you would. People who thought that they had this missing piece, this other half, this soulmate part of themselves, How did they look at relationship conflict versus those who felt like their love was a journey and that there was a destination ahead of them?
Sure. So let me clarify that piece of the research. We asked people to tell us two conflicts they had with their partner recently, right? Or two celebrations they had with their partner recently. So either positive or negative relationship experiences. Afterwards, we simply ask people to tell us, hey, how satisfied are you with how the relationship is going these days? Now, if they thought about conflicts, then obviously they were less satisfied with the relationship than if they had thought about a celebration. So no surprise whatsoever, except that before they thought about either conflicts or celebrations, if they had been primed to think about journey by drawing through the mazes, then they were actually not bothered by the conflicts at all.
Any thoughts as to why couples who believe that they are soulmates might have more trouble with conflict than those who think they're just on a journey together?
Yeah, I think it has to do with some unspoken assumptions about these two frames. When we frame an idea, often each frame highlights certain aspects and hides other aspects. This is what we call a highlighting and hiding mechanism. In the unity frame, what it highlights is the idea of perfect harmony. Now, perfect harmony means that you shouldn't really have any conflicts. If you had conflicts, you know, why if you had conflicts, it basically suggests that, well, we weren't really made for each other within the frame of perfect unity.
That's a pretty idealized vision of relationships, given that they're just work.
Mm-hmm, exactly. In fact, some people call the journey frame a work it out theory, a work it out hypothesis of a relationship. You know, there are things that you just have to work out in relationship. Even in the best of relationships, it's hard to imagine having zero conflict through 45 years of marriage or something, right? And so the journey idea, the journey frame, simply highlights the fact that it is a process. And notice the interesting implication here. In any journey, you have a destination. And that presumably is a good thing. So when you're going through these conflicts and difficulties, ups and downs, there's a sense in which that, yes, I'm going to persist, I'm going to work it out because there's something better lying ahead of us. And the journey itself becomes more meaningful. I mean, think about all the love fiction, right? If a love fiction was just, you know, oh, they were happy together, and that's basically no story to tell. All love fiction involves some sort of conflicts precisely because people generate meanings, extract meanings out of those experiences when these conflicts lead them to a higher plane in the relationship.
Then is there hope, Spike Lee, for couples who do think of each other as soulmates? Could they just reframe it in their minds? Would that be enough?
That's a great question. And let me try and clarify what I think the implication of this research is. Often people assume that what we're saying is that soulmates are hopeless. That's not necessarily what we want to claim because there are different relationship outcomes that you can look at. In our research, we focus mostly on relationship satisfaction in the long run. But after getting these findings that relationship as a journey seems to be helpful, more helpful than the relationship as a unity frame, I keep thinking, well, but people talk about love as a perfect fit all the time. I mean, it's such a popular idea. It cannot be a completely dysfunctional idea if it's so popular across cultures and languages. So what good might it do, this love as a perfect fit frame? And I thought, well, there's a couple of possibilities here. Perhaps at the early stage of a relationship, you do want to believe that this is a really good match. Your partner and you are a really good match. Otherwise, why would you invest efforts down the road you need that belief to get you going, basically. That's number one. And number two, I suspect that sexual intimacy and passion might be facilitated by the perfect fit idea. I mean, if you think about, you know, sexual intimacy, honestly, it is actually quite an instantiation of physical unity, right? Mm-hmm. And so perhaps framing love as this unity will spark passion. It's just that passion alone, intimacy alone, aren't sufficient to keep relationship going. But it is part of relationship and it's an important part of relationship as well.
So soulmates, other halves, maybe good in the beginning, maybe not so much for the long run.
That would be my bet. I don't have strong evidence to support that, but that's definitely my prediction.
Well, Spike Lee, thank you for the lessons in relationships and I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me. It's my pleasure.
Spike W.S. Lee, social psychologist who teaches marketing at the University of Toronto. His paper on how the concept of soulmates influences conflict in relationships appears in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology. And we continue our unsweetened view of relationships with a closer look at matrimony in the modern world. Sex therapist Esther Perel explains the difficulties of reckoning the conflicting desires of stability and the erotic within a marriage. Mating in captivity, when Word of Mouth continues.